Welcome to Zikru Daf Siman. My name is Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're in Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Vav. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, to illustrate the teaching brought in on Nun Hey Amud Beis, that a person is shown in his dream what he was thinking about during the day, as it says, "In Marin Lo Adam Ela Mehuhuri Libo." The Gemara brings the incident of Caesar asking Yeshua Bar Rabbi Chananya what he was going to see in his dream that night. So Rabbi Yeshua replied that Caesar was going to be pressed into service by the Persians in a very degrading way. So Caesar thought about this distressing vision all day, and in fact, that night he saw the vision in his dream. Number two, the Gemara relates the incident of Barhedya, the dream interpreter, who gave positive impressions to those that paid for his services and negative ones to those that did not pay. So Abai and Rava shared similar dreams numerous times, and Barhedya interpreted all of Abai's positively because Abai had paid, and all of Rava's negatively since he had not paid. So eventually Rava discovered, written in a book owned by Barhedya, that all dreams go according to the mouth. Kol chalamos holchin achar peh, meaning that all dreams go according to the interpreter's interpretation. So after Rava cursed him, Barhedya fled and eventually met a gruesome demise at the hands of the royal court. Point number three, the Gemara addresses the symbolic meaning of items that appear in a dream. So if one dreams of a well, Rabbi Chanina says he will see peace, Rav Nassan says he will find Torah, and Rava says he will find life. All right, let's review. So point number one, to illustrate the teaching brought on Nun Hey Amud Beis that a person has shown in his dream what he was thinking about during the day. So the Gemara brings the incident of Caesar asking Yeshua about Rabbi Chananya what he was going to see in his dream that night. So Rabbi Yeshua replied that Caesar was going to be pressed into service by the Persians in a degrading way. Caesar thought about this distressing vision all day, and in fact, that night he saw the vision in his dream. Number two, the Gemara relates the incident of Barhedya, the dream interpreter, who gave positive interpretations of those that paid for his service, negative ones that did not. Abai and Rava had same dreams. Barhedya interpreted Abai's positive because he paid. Rava's were negative because he had not paid. Eventually, Rava discovers, written in the book owned by Barhedya, that all dreams go according to the mouth. Kol cholam was holchin achar peh, meaning that all dreams go according to the interpreter's interpretation. So after Rava cursed him, Barhedya fled and eventually met a gruesome demise at the hands of the royal court. And thirdly, the Gemara addresses the symbolic meaning of items that appear in a dream. As an example, in dreams of a well, of a be'er, Rabbi Chanina says he will see peace, Rabbi Nassan says he will find Torah, and Rava says he will find life. All right, so now we go to the simon. So today is the second day in the Zichru Adar Choose the Simon contest. And once again, we had great suggestions. They were funny, creative, brilliant, from all over the world. But we have to come up with one simon that's going to become our standard simon here in Zichru that we're going to use, Mitzvah Shem, as we go through Shas together. And once again, today we have two winners. They came up with the same concept. So Mazel Tov to Rabbi Shlomo Weissman, the director of the Basin of America, New York City, and to Rabbi Moshe White, who is a Daf Yom Magid Shir in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. The same concept, Nun Vav is the Shusher in Shul going Nunu. Nunu. Now, we had a lot of Nunu suggestions. We had my mother's going Nunu and Bubby's going Nunu. So if you said Nunu in your simon, you were definitely on the right Daf, so to speak, on this one. We're going to go with the Shusher in Shul going Nunu. So the Yishe Goyach to Rabbi Weissman and Rabbi White. And here's our simon for Brachas. The Shusher in Shul was going bananas, trying to nunu the guy giving nightmares to the president about losing the election, while the dream interpreter was telling the cheapskate he was going to fall into a well. Once again, in slow motion. The Shusher in Shul was going bananas, trying to nunu. Oh, nunu, that means we're on Daf Nun Vav. Once again, the Shusher in Shul was going bananas, trying to nunu the guy giving nightmares to the president about losing the election. Because we said, to illustrate the teaching we learned on Nun Hey, on the base that a person is shown in his dream what he's thinking about during the day, the Gemara brings the incident of Caesar asking Rabbi Yeshua about Rabbi Chananya what he was going to see in his dream that night. And Rabbi Yeshua replied that Caesar was going to be pressed into service by the Persians in a degrading way. And again, Caesar thought about this distressing vision all day. And in fact, that night he saw the vision in his dream. So the Shushan Shul was going bananas, trying to nunu the guy giving nightmares to the president about losing the election, while the dream interpreter was telling the cheapskate, because we have the incident of Barhedya, the dream interpreter, who gave positive interpretations to those that paid for services and negative ones to those that did not. And Abai and Rava shared similar dreams numerous times, and Barhedya interpreted all of Abai's positively since he had paid, and all of Rava's negatively since he had not. And eventually Rava discovered, written the book owned by Barhedya, that all dreams go according to the mouth, kol cholamos holchin achra peh, meaning that all dreams go according to the interpreter's interpretation. After Rava cursed him, Barhedya fled and eventually met a gruesome demise at the hands of the royal court, while the dream interpreter was telling the cheapskate he was going to fall into a well. Because the Gemara addresses the symbolic meaning of items that appear in a dream, one of them was a well. And one dreams of a well, Rav Chanina says he will see peace, Rav Nassan says he will find Torah, Rava says he will find life. So once again, The shusher and shul was going bananas, trying to nunu the guy, giving nightmares to the president about losing the election. While the dream interpreter was telling the cheapskate he was going to fall into a well. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf nun beis. So the sim for nun beis, we said, is a newbie. So here we go. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, reminding us we're on daf nun beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit had finally gotten down the order of brachas for Kiddush and Havdalah. Right, we said the Gemara was resolving a seeming contradiction in Beis Shammai. In the Mishnah Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Beis Shammai holds that the bracha on Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day, precedes the bracha on the wine, because it's the sanctity of the day which is the cause for the wine to be brought to the meal. Yet in a Braisa on Ardav Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Beis Shammai holds that the bracha on the wine precedes the bracha of Avdal, which addresses the nature of the day. So the Gemara answers that according to Beis Shammai, there is no contradiction. When it comes to bringing Shabbos, the more we advance it, the better. Therefore, the bracha on the day comes first. But when it comes to ending the Shabbos day, the more we delay it, the better. Therefore, the bracha of Adal comes after the bracha on the wine. So the newbie Yishka had finally gone down the order of brachas for Kiddush of Adal when he was introduced to the metaphysics of tummy liquids touching utensils. Right, because we said that a tummy liquid that touches the outside of the keli of the utensil renders the outside tummy, but the inside, the rim and the handle, are tahor. But if the tamei liquid touches the inside of the keli of the utensil, then the whole keli becomes tamei. And wet napkins touching his hands. Now, there's no requirement of washing the hands for chulin, non-consecrated food from the Torah, since the hands are not considered a separate entity from the body and cannot contract tumah from a rishon. It's only rabbinic law that they are treated separately and considered a sheni to require someone to wash and to remove the tumah before eating bread. So this explains why Beis Hillel holds that it is of greater concern then the liquid in a wet napkin will lead to food becoming tamei when placed on a table, then the liquid in the wet napkin leading to hands becoming tamei when placed on a cushion. And that's why he says the wet napkin should be placed on a cushion. So once again, the newbie to Yiddishkeit had finally gone down the order of brachas with Kiddush and Havdalah when he was introduced to the metaphysics of tamei liquids touching utensils and wet napkins touching his hands. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Sim for Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here we go. The Nigerian prince reminding us we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince held his fingers up to benefit from the light. We said there's a machlokes regarding the Mishnah's meaning when it says one may not make a bracha over the flame until he benefits from its illumination. What does that mean? Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that one does not actually have to benefit from the light. The bracha is made as long as the light is strong enough that one could benefit from it, even though he is standing far away and personally can't benefit from it now. Rav says that the bracha is only made when he is close enough to the light that he could benefit from it. And this is the basis for our looking at our fingernails when making the bracha on the flame in Havdalah, because distinguishing the fingernail and its surrounding skin is similar to discerning the difference between two different small coins or two different weights that are similar in appearances. So the Nigerian prince held his fingers up to benefit from the light that had been lit for illumination, because we were taught that the bracha of Morei Morei Esh was recited only on a flame lit for illumination. If it was lit for other purposes, such as cooking or to honor a prominent person, singing the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMidrash, or to honor the deceased at his funeral, no bracha is recited. And similarly, the bracha Borei Menei B'Samim is recited only for a fragrance designated for the enjoyment of its smell, a fragrance used for other purposes, such as perfuming clothing or removing the odor of a decaying corpse, does not merit a bracha. And he made a bracha on all his riches, while his champion servants proudly proclaimed Amen. Because we said this Malchus Tanaim regarding whether it's preferable to make a bracha or to answer Amen to the bracha. So one braisa holds that saying Amen is greater than the one who makes a bracha, because Rav Nora likens it to battle, where the common soldiers engage the enemy first, followed by the elite troops who come in to seal the victory. But another braisa holds that the heavenly emissaries hasten more to bestow reward on the one making the bracha than on the one answering Amen. Daf Nindalad. So the Sim for Nindalad is noodles. So here we go. The caterer transporting spaghetti noodles, reminding us we're on Daf Nindalad. The caterer is transporting spaghetti noodles across the desert Bench Gomel, which reminds the review to say in the name of Rav that four types of people must give thanks in Bench Gomel because they survived dangerous situations. One who travels across the sea, through the wilderness, recovers from an illness, or freed from prison. After finally delivering to the well-guarded Chasan and Kala, because he also said that three types of people need protection from a Zikin. A sick person, because he's more vulnerable, and a chasan kol because they evoke jealousy in the mezikin, who are busy making brachas in the eight places where miracles had occurred. Because we're taught that a person is obligated to make a bracha in a place where miracles are performed for the masses, for the nation, but only an individual is obligated to make a bracha on a miracle performed for him alone. And then we have the list of the eight places where miracles occurred. We have the place of Yamsuf, where the Jordan was crossed, the crossing of Nachli Arnon, the canyons of Arnon, where the Amori were waiting in ambush when miraculously crushed in the mountains, at the stones of El Gavish, at the descent of Beis Horon, This is where the hailstones that were suspended in midair for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu later came down for the sake of Yeshua when he defended Givon in the battle with the Amori. At the stone that Og, Melch, Bashan wanted to throw at the nation. At the stone that Moshe sat on during the war with Amalek. And the remains of Lot's wife. And at the wall of Jericho, which was swallowed. All right, so now it's time for our pop quiz. 10 questions. Here we go. Number one. Where do we learn why Beis Hillel says one should put a wet napkin on a cushion, not on the table? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number two. Where do we learn what one should do if they forgot to make a bracha and the food is still in their mouth? That's on Duff. Nun. Good. Number three. Where do we learn about benching Gomel? That's on Duff. Nun Dalet. Good. Number four. Where do we learn that one can discern the way someone says brachas whether a person is a Talmud Chacham or a boor, an ignoramus? That's on Duff. Nun. Good. Number five. What do you learn about if someone has anxiety about a dream, they can do a chatavas chalom, they can remedy the dream by going to three people? That's on Duff. Nun. Hey. Good. Number six. Where do you learn that one should only make a bracha borei marei esh on a light that was lit for illumination? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel. Good. Number seven. Where do we learn about the eight different places where miracles occurred that one would make a bracha on the nes that happened there? That's on Duff. Nun Dalet. Good. Number eight. Where do we learn about tummy liquids touching either the inside or the outside of a kli? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Great. Number nine. Where do we learn about Betzalel's wisdom, that he knew the order by which he should build the first the Mishkan and then the keli, the vessels? That's on Duff. Nun Hey, good. And number 10, where do you learn about what one should do if they forgot Yal V'Yavo and Rosh Chodesh benching, whether they have to repeat it or not? That's on Duff. Mem Test. Great, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golder from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning. Duff Nun Hey. So the symbol for Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here we go. Rabbi Betzalel, reminding us that the Gemara talks about Betzalel's wisdom. He was called Betzalel because he lived in the shadow of Hashem, Betzel Kel, as he knew the order in which Hashem had commanded the building of the Mishkan. First the Mishkan, then the Kelim, the vessels. Despite Moshe Rabbeinu changing the order and instructions to him, because Moshe Rabbeinu said first build the Kelim and then the Mishkan. He also knew how to join together the letters of the Torah in the same way they were combined to create Shemayim Arts, the heavens and the earth. So Rabbi Betzalel dreamt, and that reminds us that the Duff talks about dreams. So Rabbi Betzalel dreamt that he planted a speed limit sign, that reminds us of the limit sign, 55, run, Duff Nun Hey. So Rabbi Betzalel dreamt that he planted a speed limit sign in the middle of the shul to remind the congregants that the key to long life is spending more time in tefillah. It reminds us that the Gemara analyzed the three actions which, when prolonged, prolong one's life, according to Rav Yehuda, which we learned on Nun Dalet on the base, spending a long time in tefillah, spending a long time at the table, because we afford poor people a greater chance to come and share in the meal, and spending a long time in the bathroom. And his congregants begged him to do hatavas chalom. So we learned a lot of things about dreams. A dream that has not been interpreted is like an unread letter. Two, one who's troubled by a dream should have it remedied in the presence of three people, and the text of Hatavas Chalom is presented in the Gemara. And also, one who doesn't understand the meaning of his dream should stand before the Kohanim during Birkas Kohanim and recite a supplication aiming to finish it as the congregation responds Amen, so that his supplication will be affirmed together with Birkas Kohanim. We are accustomed to doing this during Musaf on Yontov. Okay, so now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go, number one. Which stuff do we learn about the wisdom of Betzalel? That's on Duff. Nun Hey. Good. Number two, where do we learn about the four people that are chayv to bench Gomel? That's on Duff. Nun Dalet. Good. Number three, where do we learn about the 10 requirements for the Koshel Bracha? That's on Duff. Nun Aleph. Good. Number four, where do we have the case where Caesar was distressed about a vision that he was given and he ended up dreaming about it that night? That's on Duff. Nun Vav. Good. Number five. What do we learn about tummy liquids touching the inside of a kli or the outside of a kli and the difference? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good. Number six. What do we learn about Hatavas Chalom? That's on Duff. Nun Hey. Great. Number seven. What do we learn that there's malchus regarding when one makes a bracha on light, one has to derive benefit from the light? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel. Good. Number eight, where do we have the whole story about Barhedya the interpreter and what he said to Abai and Ravin and his eventual demise? That's on Duff. Nun Vav. Good. Number nine, where do we have the question about which is greater, making a bracha or saying Amen? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel. And finally, question number 10, where do we learn what to do if someone forgot to make a bracha and they swallowed the food? That's on Duff. Nunav. Great, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.